and enveloped the wizard. All this wasn't exactly necessary to accomplish the spell, but wizards consider appearances are very important. So are disappearances. He vanished. Stratohemispheric winds whipped at Mort's cloak. "Where are we going first?" yelled Isabel in his ear. "Bespelargic," shouted Mort, the gale whirling his words away.
"Where's that?"
"Agatian Empire, counterweight continent." He pointed downward. He wasn't forcing Binky at the moment, knowing the miles that lay ahead, and the big white horse was currently running at an easy gallop out over the ocean. Isabel looked down at the roaring green waves topped with white foam and clung tighter to Mort. Mort peered ahead at the cloud bank that marked the distant continent and resisted the urge to hurry Binky along with the flat of his sword. He'd never struck the horse and wasn't at all confident about what would happen if he did. All he could do was wait. A hand appeared under his arm, holding a sandwich.
"There's ham or cheese and chutney," she said. "You might as well eat. There's nothing else to do."
Mort looked down at the soggy triangle and tried to remember when he last had a meal. Sometime beyond the reach of a clock, anyway. He'd need a calendar to calculate it. He took the sandwich. "Thanks," he said, as graciously as he could manage. The tiny sun rolled down towards the horizon, towing its lazy daylight behind it. The clouds ahead grew and became outlined in pink and orange. After a while, he could make out a darker blur of land below them, with here and there the lights of a city. Half an hour later, he was sure he could see individual buildings, Agatian architecture inclined towards squat pyramids. Binky lost height until his hooves were barely a few feet above the sea. Mort examined the hourglass again and gently tugged on the reins to direct the horse towards a seaport, a little rimwards of their present course. There were a few ships at anchor, mostly single-sailed coastal traders. The Empire didn't encourage its subjects to go far away in case they saw things that might disturb them. For the same reason, it had built a wall around the entire country, patrolled by the Heavenly Guard, whose main function was to tread heavily on the fingers of any inhabitants who felt they might like to step outside for 5 minutes for a breath of fresh air. This didn't happen often, because most of the subjects of the Sun Emperor were quite happy to live inside the wall. It's a fact of life that everyone is on one side or other of a wall, so the only thing to do is forget about it, or evolve stronger fingers.
"Who runs this place?" said Isabel as they passed over the harbour.
"There's some kind of boy emperor," said Mort. "But the top man is really the Grand Vizier, I think."
"Never trust a Grand Vizier," said Isabel wisely.
In fact, the Sun Emperor didn't. The Vizier, whose name was Nine Turning Mirrors, had some very clear views about who should run the country, e.g. that it should be him, and now the boy was getting big enough to ask questions like, "Don't you think the wall would look better with a few gates in it?" And, "Yes, but what is it like on the other side?" He had decided that in the Emperor's own best interests, he should be painfully poisoned and buried in quicklime. Binky landed on the raked gravel outside the low, many-roomed palace, severely rearranging the harmony of the universe. The stone garden of universal peace and simplicity, laid out to the orders of the old Emperor One Sun Mirror, whose other claim to fame was his habit of cutting off his enemies' lips and legs and then promising them their freedom if they could run through the city playing a trumpet, used economy of position and shadow to symbolize the basic unity of soul and matter and the harmony of all things. It was said the secrets at the very heart of reality lay hidden in the precise ordering of its stones. Mort slid off his back and helped Isabel down.
"Just don't get in the way, will you?" he said urgently. "And don't ask questions either."
He ran up some lacquered steps and hurried through the silent rooms, pausing occasionally to take his bearings from the hourglass. At last he sidled down a corridor and peered through an ornate lattice into a long, low room where the court was at its evening meal. The young Sun Emperor was sitting cross-legged at the head of the mat with his cloak of vermin and feathers spread out behind him. He looked as though he was outgrowing it. The rest of the court was sitting around the mat in strict and complicated order of precedence, but there was no mistaking the vizier, who was tucking into his bowl of squishy and boiled seaweed in a highly suspicious fashion. No one seemed to be about to die. Mort padded along the passage, turned the corner, and nearly walked into several large members of the Heavenly Guard, who were clustered around a spy hole in the paper wall and passing a cigarette from hand to hand in that palm-cupped way of soldiers on duty. He tiptoed back to the lattice and overheard the conversation thus.